Looking again then at the paragraph, Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 32, paragraph 2, having seen that the resurrection of the dead is a future event at the last day, we come now to the question of, what about those who haven't died? Because surely when the Lord comes back again, there will be people alive. We don't envisage the world, everybody's dead, and then the Lord will come back again. And the Bible doesn't give that kind of picture. In fact, the Bible gives the picture of the opposite. When the Lord comes back again, there'll be plenty of living ones, there'll be alive ones. But they won't have died. And the question that is posed then, those who have not died before that time, what befalls them on that day, this last day? On that last day, do the living have to die to be raised? That's a possibility. They could all have to die on that day and then be raised. Or do they just stay the same? The Lord comes back again and they just are the same. They're not changed in any way and they don't die. They just go to the judgment the same. No, the Bible doesn't teach that either. The divines follow Scripture in saying that the living do not die, but they undergo a bodily transformation, a bodily change, a change that is necessary for them to be able to come before the judgment, and a change that is necessary for them to enjoy eternity in the body, are also to be able to endure the flames of hell in the body, that body has to be changed. Flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom of God. And this body would just be consumed in the flames of hell. So there has to be a change. And the divine say that the living will be changed. Now, some have had difficulty with paragraph 2, referring to all the living, whether saved or unsaved. You will see there, if you turn the other side of your page there, page 5, I have quoted the Westminster Confession of Faith there. You'll see there at the last day, such as are found alive shall not die, but be changed, and all the dead shall be raised up with the selfsame bodies. Now, I believe that the divines there are referring to all the living, whether they're saved or unsaved, whether they're righteous or the unrighteous and the wicked, that the living won't die, but they'll be changed. All of them will be changed. Now, there are some who have difficulty with that. They think that the Bible is silent on the living dead, or on the living unconverted being changed, though they see that the living converted, they will be changed. The Bible clearly teaches that. But they seem to have difficulty with the idea of living unconverted ones being changed. One of the examples of those having problems with that seemed to be the London Baptist Confession of Faith, the 1689. This basically is the same confession, with the major change being in baptism, of course. But the London Baptist Confession also makes wee changes that are very interesting. You wonder why they brought in those changes. And there's one of those occurrences that happens here in paragraph 2. Because instead of saying, at the last day, such as are found alive shall not die, the Baptist Confession says, such at the last day, such of the saints as are found alive shall not sleep. And you'll see there they've put in the words of the saints, and I've underlined that, and they've changed the word die to sleep. Because they just want to refer to the living saved, the living converted, that all the saints who are alive will not sleep, but they'll be changed. The Westminster divines are clearly referring to all, such as are found alive, good and bad, not die, but be changed. But the Baptist Confession of Faith wants to be a wee bit more careful, and it wants just to say that the living saints won't sleep, but be changed. Probably they're doing that because Scripture's silent on the living wicked. The proof texts refer to the living saints being changed, But I think it can be implied, the change that the resurrected dead undergo, that the living unconverted must also undergo that same change if they're going to be able to come and face the judgment and also to endure the body being in the Gehenna fire. There has to be a change even in those who never died. So I think it's the divines are right that all the dead live, or all the living, the undead, will be changed. So I hope that's clear to you what I've been trying to say there. The proof texts are 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're back again on page 4 at the end there. I have some proof texts just listed again about the living and undead at that time being changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. That's the question. We who are alive and remain. Now, there's some have speculated, well, Paul must have thought he would be alive when the Lord comes back again. Well, I don't think that that's clear. He's alive now. No one knows the hour or the day when the Lord comes. So he's just speaking on behalf of the people of God who will be alive at that day. And because he's still living, he just includes himself. So we're not to say, oh, he thought the Lord was going to come back before he died. We can prove no such thing as that. He's just saying, whoever the believers are that are alive and remain, there will be living when Christ comes back again. That's what Paul's saying. We who are alive and remain. There'll be some alive. There'll be Christians who are alive and have not died. And there will be living when this resurrection takes place. Because he says, we shall not prevent them which are asleep. You see, there were some in Thessalonica who were thinking that, oh, the dead were disadvantaged. They had died and the Lord hadn't come back again. So they're disadvantaged. They'll not enjoy the Lord's coming. And Paul says, no, that's wrong thinking. They're not disadvantaged at all. In fact, they'll rise first. We'll not hinder them. We'll not disadvantage them. Well, they'll rise first, and together we'll go up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the earth. So they'll not be disadvantaged at all by having died. They'll be raised. So the living here are Christian, righteous living. And they will not disadvantage those that sleep. And it's not necessarily better to be alive in that day. Both are the same. They're both going to be raised, their bodies changed, go up in the clouds together and meet the Lord in the air. So it doesn't make any difference whether you've died or you haven't died, really. You're still going to be with the Lord. You're still going to have a new glorious body like Christ's. This is what Paul is setting forth here in 1 Thessalonians. But he does say the dead will rise first. That's what he's bringing out there. Verse 14, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And there's an emphasis on them. There's a focus on them. The Lord's working on them. Now, no doubt he's working on the living too and changing them, but it's becoming very visible about the dead being raised. It might not be so visible when a living one is changed. And the dead are rising, and it's being witnessed. And then together they're all going up. You maybe see your loved ones who have died, you haven't died, and yet you'll see them raised and you'll go up to be with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thought. So the living and the resurrected dead will be caught up together. Now, it does not say in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the living will be changed. There's no reference to the change that takes place in the living. But it does tell us there will be living ones, and what will happen then? They'll go up with the dead, the resurrected. It's 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about the living being changed. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's how we're constituted now in our body, flesh and blood. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And it's verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. And this is the mystery. Mystery is something that has only been revealed by God. It doesn't mean it's you can't figure it out, you can't work it out, it's a mystery. What it means is it's hidden, it's concealed, and you would only know it because God has revealed it. And God has revealed it. Here's a mystery, here's something that only God has revealed to us. And it is this, very simple, in two phrases. We shall not all sleep. Sleep is death for the Christian. It's just meaning we'll die. We'll not all die. But we'll all be changed. So he's saying, not everybody will go into the grave, not everybody will die, but everybody will be changed. The living dead are the living undead who haven't died, and the dead who are raised, changed. So that's the proof text that the living are changed. They don't die, will not sleep, but will be changed. And so the divines are quite right there. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 is the real proof text behind that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 also tells us about this change. Who shall change our vile body? Now again, it doesn't say that the living will be changed, but I think you can imply that, you can assume that. We have vile bodies now. Whether we're dead, rotted in the grave, or whether we're still alive and the Lord comes back again, they're vile bodies. They're identified with depravity. They're identified with fleshly and sensual desires. But they're going to be changed. And they're going to be, how are they going to be changed? They're going to be changed so that they're going to be like Christ's glorious body. And his great power is going to do that. All the living are changed. And that includes the living converted and the living unconverted. The changes are different, of course, but both bodies are drastically changed.